there were 45 million, and that's why they don't let you come in anyhow. You understand that today? Same thing with US. All this Western world, they are much more putting their emphasis on quality of living than just borrow. And so, but our country here is a reverse. The leaders over there work for the quality of the people. The leaders in our own area here, they work to get for themselves quality of life at the people's expense. So I wanted to adopt that Christian mentality of working to bless and to see that we have life. So that's how I came to this verse. But some of you don't understand this verse, because this verse is just only one verse. Let's go on. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Can you look up a minute? I noticed that if a church will do quite well, if a church, that's before I became a pastor, after traveling, I traveled for about 9 years preaching in churches. And I noticed that churches have a lot of problems, but I noticed that they don't deal with the truth. When a church is dealing with the truth, truth is the atmosphere for people to prosper, particularly the truth of God's word. When we are lying to ourselves and posing for ourselves, we're not going to get anywhere. You know, the Bible says that if truth goes for 20 years, one day, if lies go for 20 years, one day, truth will catch up with it. So, at the time that we are going to be a people of truth, so the truth of God's word must, Jesus said, my word is truth, right? So, we want to get the word into you. See, he said, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified truth that is in you. Look at verse 4. For I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So I stopped thinking about getting a jet, opening churches all over the world, going to different things, so that we are great. And I came to see that my greatest joy as a pastor must be this kind of joy, or I will never do what heaven wants. So greater joy of John was that the people walk in the truth. Not that we have this and have that and have this. I don't care about this building really so much, except to repair it. It's about the people that matters, so that we walk in the truth. Now, but you know something? I asked myself, this man that he was praying that he should prosper in everything and do well, what was he doing? So I wanted to see what he was doing. And I started reading. Let's keep on reading. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. So this, go back. So this guy is doing something, or this Gaius, let's call him his name, not Guy, Gaius. This Gaius was faithfully doing certain things. Faithfully. Whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers, give us this verse, Message Bible. Maybe it throw some light on it. Can you give us Message Bible? Dear friend, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers, you make the faith visible. So I told myself that the biggest thing we need to do is to be like this Gaius. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. They've made a full report back to the church here. A message about your love. It's good work you are doing, helping these travelers on their way, hospitality worthy of God. I think my wife just read that verse too. Let's read it in NLT. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such details in the manner that pleases God. Next verse. Now, take a look at this. Take a look at this. For they are traveling for the Lord, or missionaries for the Lord, and they accept nothing from the people who are not believers. So this has to do with those ones who are like missionaries, who go to the field, rural areas, frontiers of the gospel, where they call it 1040 windows, where Muslims are 95%. They won't give you anything. They won't even let you stay. Pastor Henry just went to Benin Republic, northern part. In that town, you can't find a house because it's all owned by Muslims. They won't say, Christian, what are you, preach? No way. It had to take God to get a place. So you can see this Gaius, who was prospering and being healthy, what he was doing. Next verse. So we ourselves, this is what turned me on several years ago. So we ourselves will support them so that we can be their partners. No. This is not clear. Go back to give us Message Bible. It made it as if we're their partners. No. So they deserve any support we can give them in providing meals and a bed. We become their companions in spreading the truth. But let's go to NKJV. I love it in NKJV. Take a listen to this. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. So that simply means give us KJV too. I like KJV. See, workers, it sounds, yeah. I like this one. That we become fellow helpers to the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the way, truth and the life. Can you imagine I'm helping Jesus? I mean, for me, that's one of the greatest assignments in life, that I can help Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if your phone rings now and you see Governor Dapo Abiodun and he says, I need your help, what will you do? Let's not go to president now. I mean, just go, say, I need your help. So I just saw that, man, I can really help Jesus. I can help the truth. For those ones who are going those far away places, Jesus needed them to do that. And if I can help them, that's what. So at the very first service of our church, you know what we did? I asked Daddy Paramolu, you know Daddy Paramolu, that prof, you know, what he was doing, Daddy Paramolu, Daddy Owolabi, what he was doing actually was, he called the work Mission Link Ministry. So what he was doing was to take money, resources, to go to the villages and rural areas to help missionaries there. So I said, Daddy Owolabi, we're having our first service January 7, 1996. I said, can you just come down? I want to take all our offering, our first offering that Sunday. I don't have time to tell you story, but I need to tell you some story. First time, we're going to take communion, relax. First time, our first offering. I said, we're going to give that money. I want you to just use it to buy something for the children or the wives of the missionaries on the field. He said, I'll come. If I search the house, I'll find the pictures of that meeting at Ibuku Cinema. I'm from Ibuku Cinema. You know Ibuku Cinema now. So we had that program. And how much was the offering? Something that I said, I didn't even take a look. I just packed everything. And I said, you should take it away. We have never been broke since that time. We never been broke. Praise God. See, the food we ate on Tuesday has been paid for. We didn't even take offering that day. Huh? Because we are fellow helpers of Jesus. And Jesus will see that we get help to help him. Don't you get the gist? He has all the power. He said, help me. So I can get help for him to help me to help him. Do you understand that? So we've been doing that. So I said that we're going to be using communion service to give to missionaries, and I forgot. I'm not remember I said that. Okay, so every communion service now, we're going to drop some money. In fact, the last meeting I remember after we finished, I felt so sad for myself. You know. All right. So we're going to give some money next, maybe when we finish communion, just drop the money. Some of you over here, you have been giving every month for missionaries. Thank you so much. Let's clap for them. Thank you so much. 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. You've been giving that for missionaries. Missionaries is in the heart of Jesus. The frontiers of the gospel must go on. I got some hair-raising testimony from rich missionaries in the bush. You know, I mean, Pastor Eric went to one particular town in the northern part where it's Muslim-dominated. And when he got down there to preach, he just went to see somebody. And some women got together over there. And one of the women said, hey, Pastor. That's Pastor. When is your program you are going to do crusade? He said, November. He said, it's too far. My daughter is sick now. Let's do the program now. They don't care about all this program you do. They just want to do something. And you know what? They gathered and they were preaching and they were getting healed. Praise God. Just like that. Just like that. Hallelujah. I've been some this area, from this inside over there too. We've gone down there, traveled 2 hours inside. you know, all kinds of things. So we're going to give if you can transfer. We have mission's account. Okay, so we're going to put it there. We're going to give some money. The money we are giving today, we want to help the missionary couple pay their house rent. You know, we usually help them to pay it, but I've been busy. So we just, whatever we give today, we'll see what we can do to just pay off the rent for the year so they can focus on preaching the gospel to touch the mission field. Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay, so we'll do that. If I forget, it's your fault now. I've told you what you're going to do. So if I'm about to close and I forget the offering, somebody just run. I say, Pastor, stop! Or Pastor. Is that all right? And I remember Pastor. We need to help them and encourage them. Missionaries are the heartbeat of the gospel reaching out. Praise God. We'll come back to this account. You can take the picture and keep it. You can do 500 naira, 1,000. You know, today, you can transfer 300 naira. You can. Not 50 naira, because they use it for the commission, you know. But 100 naira will do. 100 naira will do. 200 naira will do. 300 naira will do. I mean, if you do 100 naira, you do 50 naira. 50 naira still come to the account. Is that all right? Praise God. So let's just do whatever we can to help the gospel go forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible with me. I have something I want to share with you. It's just beautiful. About communion service. Just beautiful. I never had like that before, like that. And it won't take us too long. Jesus was really amazing. You know, Babalawo, if you go to their places and say you want to do something, they will give you all kinds of things to do. Some of you never grew up like that. I grew up Babalawo. I was secretary to Babalawo when I was growing up. So they buy all kinds of things, all kinds of away, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of pepper. I wish I can remember them now. And they will quote different away. But Jesus came with his gospel and he brought one thing that is easy to do around the world. He gave us two things to do. Baptism. And there is water everywhere. Am I right? There's water everywhere. And he gave us the second one about communion, which is bread and wine. And that's everywhere. Am I right? He made it quite easy. I want to say, Pastor, there's no wine. Coke looks like it. I know too. I've used Coke for communion before. It's red now. Praise God. So, but we have wine. So, I want you to look at this. Jesus said something. Let's go to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. Let's go down there. I'll read something to you about communion. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. I want you to follow this story. Very simple. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, what did he take? He took bread. He took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. What is it? This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in what? In remembrance of me. Simple. Take it. This is my body broken for you. My body broken for you. Do this remembering me. Actually, the best word there is that do this to fight memory loss concerning me. And you know, it's so easy to forget and not to remember. When you are going through things, when you are in this kind of economy, this kind of country, you can be so overtaken by what is going around you at work, at home, pressures, challenges, that we just forget Jesus. So he said, if you want to remember me, come, take this cup and this bread anywhere and remember me. Next verse. And he said, also, the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. No, you know what hit me during the week about communion? I was just thinking about communion. And the Lord said, I said, this is my body broken for you. This is my cup, my blood. Then he said to me, he said, very simple. You know why I do that? He said, when I ask you to take bread, that's my body. He said, anytime you say my body, think sacrifice. Do you hear what I said? He said, when I say my body broken for you, he said, think sacrifice. I said, fine. He said, anytime when I ask you to take my blood, think covenant. So, can you help me get those two words, Christian? The first one is what? Sacrifice. Second one is what? Covenant. So Jesus brought it down to us, said, look here, this is what I want you to do. Every time you come to the table, you pick up the bread, sacrifice. You pick up the cup, covenant. Sacrifice. I know you know the word sacrifice. Like now, you sacrifice for your children. You go to work, and money that you have spent to buy a good car to go and pour it into school fees. Am I right? Puta. You know? Schools have resumed now. That dress you wanted to buy, you are not buying it because you are sacrificing. But notice something. You sacrifice with your body. You take your body to that workplace and struggle. The money you earn is your body at work there. And then you take that money and then you spend it. And then when they eat food, they're sacrificing. You can't sacrifice invisibly. You sacrifice physically. Do you know that the chicken you eat at restaurant, the sacrifice of the body of the animal? Nothing goes for nothing. That's a sacrifice. In fact, look at Romans 12 verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. See, when my wife says to me, dear, I need some water from the well, I sacrifice my time, my energy. I use my body to bring, I didn't float there. Huh? I use my body, fetch the water, take it to the room, they use it. Or to say, can you help me get that, my shoes on the rack over there? I take my body, climb the stuff, go up there. It's my body I use. Now, when I use my body for myself, it's not called sacrifice. But when I use it for others, it's called sacrifice. She noticed that the very first thing that Adam's children did was to sacrifice. Remember that? Remember that? Cain and Abel. The sacrifice. In fact, the very first thing God did after mankind sinned, sacrifice animal for them. God killed whatever animal it is, woolly, and his skin, the thing, and he made the skin to cover them. So that animal, the first time, in the very first that happened after Adam's sin was blood shed and flesh taken, and then the skin removed, and then God used it and covered them up to have as clothes. That animal sacrificed for Adam and his wife. And their children came up. Let's look at it. Genesis 4, verse 1. Okay, verse 3, to make it faster. Genesis 4, verse 3. Sacrifice. And in the process of time, it came to that Cain brought an offering. It's also called offering or sacrifice. Of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Next verse. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel. Have you ever heard this before? That God does not respect anybody. Right at the beginning of our Bible, God was doing respect business. God got to respect some people and their offering. See that? Especially Abel and his offering. So God, oh, come on now. Come on now. If you go out with somebody and then you want to buy a dress and the dress is 50,000 and that one says to you, Oh, what about that better one? I know. Oh, my car, my money's not enough. And he said, sir, how much is that clothes? 150,000. He said, give it to him. I'll balance the 100,000. How do you look at the person? He's almost kneeling down. Now let's take it a little bit higher. If it's a car, 50 million, 5 million. I say, how much? He say, 8 million. I say, so pay. I've had 3 million. You dance all around the person. Am I right? If you talk about that person, that's bad. You won't do that. Am I right? Am I right? So, to God, we recommend ourselves by sacrifice. Now, God gave us his ultimate sacrifice, his own son. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Ultimate sacrifice. So, he wanted to burn it into our consciousness, sacrifice. That nothing good will happen here without sacrifice. You know, singer just came, sang. He's sacrificing. A time of practice. God doesn't respect you just like that. Yeah, God loves everybody. But God takes a special look at those one who goes beyond themselves. See, the whole nature, you can never live an abundant life without sacrificing. The whole of nature is sacrifice. You see, the plants will sacrifice as vegetables for us to eat. The animals will sacrifice their eggs or their bodies. Right? You sacrifice at workplace. You carry yourself there, do the work. Or it's business. You sacrifice. And then they pay you back for it. Am I right? You sacrifice. But if you're all locking within yourself, you won't get anything back. So Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. You know why his body? His body is life. When he was here, he did everything with his body. So he said, I'm laying down my body for you. I'm going all the way for you. I'm here for you. So he laid down his body, a sacrifice. Huh? Anybody with money here? Okay, I think I have some money in my pocket. Once in a while I have. See this money? This is where we are wrong here. You see, this money is not just money. This money is your life. As you say that? You know, it's over here now. To me, brother, to me, goes to work Monday to Friday, all through the week, sometimes laboratory. And when they pay him that money, they are paying him his lifetime for that work. So when he carries the money, he's carrying. See, it's just more than transfer. Are you hearing me? This is life. So actually, when you put that money into your offering plate, you're sacrificing your life. Not just paper. You know, all these boys today, they just think it's just card. But sometimes when you can't, like, you can't. You know it's really canting. You can transfer. And it's life. I see people, they want to ask you for money. You never met them before. They send you texts. My children, I'm not aware. I'm not okay. Here's my account number. Transfer. Huh? It's just transfer. It's life. That's costing you to go down there and do something with your life. That 50K cost your life. And Jesus laid down his life for us. Hallelujah. He took his body, put it on the cross. So sacrifice. We must always learn sacrifice. We will never amount to anything without sacrificing. When you're in school, if you don't sacrifice time to read very well, you won't come out with A's. Am I right? Hallelujah. So, Jesus telling us today, sacrifice. I sacrifice for you. I lay down my life for you. That's why he told us in Romans 8:37. Let's look at it. Or 31, either of the two. Give us Romans 8:31 first. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How did he prove God is for us? Sacrifice. Next verse. He would not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Sacrifice. That's how I know God is for me. I mean, you say you are for me. I go to your house, I'm thirsty. You say, oh, Kosomio, because I have only one cup left. I don't know you love me. But when you take that one cup and you share it, and we share it together, though it's not enough, that's sacrificing for me. That's my value to you. So God, tell somebody beside you, God is for me. How do I know? He sacrificed his son. Praise God. Jesus said, anytime you pick up the body, you pick up that bread, remember, my body is broken for you. I sacrificed for you. And I'm still sacrificing for you. You know, see that body broken, after he died, that body was raised up again and to serve us forever. Jesus is at the Father's right hand now, always interceding. Jesus' life has been spent and it will be spent for us. Jesus right now is not so much part of the Trinity as part of us. He's part of Trinity, but it's part of us. So he goes to his Father, not just as Father, Son, and Spirit, but for us too. He's pleading for us. Look at Hebrews 7 verse 25. Praise God. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Sacrifice. Therefore, he's also able to save and help and deliver to the outermost those who come to God through him. Since he always what? He always what? Lives to make intercession. To get on the way to do something for us. We used to sing one song years ago. I live for Jesus. Day after day. You know, Christ is singing too. I live for Tunde. I live for Bola. I live for Ezekiel. Day after day for eternity, he'll be living for you. Can't just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for ever living, ever living, ever living. He always lives. He's ever living to make for us intercessions. He knows your conditions. He knows your stuff. He knows your problems. And he's every day interceding for us. Thank you. Put your hands down. Go to Hebrews 4, verse 14. Let's just read it. Jesus sacrificing for us. Saying that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What is it? Next verse. Why? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's why he came here. You know, who will come over here? I mean, if you are in heaven, you want to come back down here? He came here. He chose where to be born. If I happen to be choosing where I will be born, I'll be born in White House, in Buckingham Palace. I will not smell Osun State. I will not smell Nigeria. I will go for the high and mighty. But Jesus chose to be born in a city where they couldn't find a place where he would be born. There was no place in the inn. Can you imagine the Lord of glory? Then after that, he was born in a manger. Sacrifice. Poo of cows everywhere. He's just born there. And then he went to go and live in a town that's famous for nothing. Nazareth. In fact, you can change that word to anonymous. You know, that you know, Nathaniel said, he's from Nazareth. Huh? Nothing good he has about that. We don't know about that place. Sacrifice. And then he went further. I mean, just think about it. One day I saw this, blew my mind. Jesus, when he started ministering to people, several thousand every day, never had break. No Sabbath break. And you know, how many of you work in the hospital? Mr. Reader, you work in the hospital. You work in the department. Am I right? Then another one, where do you work? Practice. You work radiotherapy. You work surgery. You work medicine. You work some of the elderly. Jesus was all the departments in one. This dying child, the grown-up older people, the young people, the woman with gynecological disorder, everything, every day, laying down his life. And in the midst of that, he will still be feeling their hunger. Sacrifice his life for us. Come on, let's bless Jesus. Let's bless Jesus. No other religious leader did that. Just did that for us. It's the uniqueness of Jesus. Say, friend. Friend indeed. Friend forever. On our side. Glory to Jesus. Muhammad only gave us revelation from heaven and fought for it. Buddha gave us revelation and truth and stuff like that in the light of truth. All these guys. But Jesus didn't just only come to give us the truth and give us the light. He came to die for us. He came to cross the bridge when nobody could cross it. His sacrifice. He said, a body have you prepared so that I may do your will. So what else can't we give for the Lord? He gave all his life. And it's not asking us to give our life for him. Say, just give it to somebody else. So number one, when you pick up that bread, remember, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is all over the Bible. God asked Abraham, offer your son. Abraham obliged God. God said, oh no, don't touch him. He only reminded me what I'm going to do myself. He took his only son and offered him for us all. He didn't offer him spiritually. He offered him physically. He came here. His body was broken. Was beaten. He popped. Blood all over. Sacrifice. I understand sacrifice from Jesus. I heard of a couple. They had a child that was not mentally well. It was in a wheelchair. They were traveling. They got to a bridge. And the bridge was about to collapse with the car on it. And so the car threw out, you know, they came out of the car, wanted to, and the boy that was mentally retarded was in the car with them. And the water was gushing. And what are they going to do? You know what they did? The couple, the husband and wife, took the child, put him above the bridge, and they were drowned. They were drowned. I mean, half brain child. Every mother here, thank you for sacrificing. Every father here, trying to put food on the table, thank you for sacrificing. Yeah, you can hear that one and say, ah, okufun. But to live is more difficult. To live is more difficult. To be there, it's more difficult. Every day, to sacrifice. My body, broken for you. My body, broken for you. You never live great life on this living life of sacrifice like Jesus. What do you want money for? What do you want house for? What do you want life for? You know, I keep seeing the picture anytime I remember Jesus. As I see humanity like this, and I see God over on this side, and there's impassable gulf over there. You cannot cross it. All religious leaders, I wrote a tract about that. All religious leaders got to the edge and says, hey, change your way so you can cross over to the other side. And nobody could cross over. You know what he did? He turned himself on the cross to a bridge across. The other ones were giving us lessons, but he was giving his life to sacrifice. Don't forget that. He cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken by his father because he couldn't look at sin. He sacrificed himself. He became sin. Have you ever read before in the Bible? Let's go and see that. Chapter 5, 7 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 5:21. Hallelujah. I'm glad they sacrificed. For sin, they sacrificed. Behold the Lamb. Praise God. Give us 5:21. Chapter 5:21. 7 Corinthians. Can you give us? For he made them who knew no sin. Not to carry our sin, but to be sin. Can you imagine? Jesus, he was Son of God. When he came, he became a human being, right? When he became a human being, he grew up, he became a servant of God, serving all over the place. Then on the cross, he became sin itself. You know, there's one verse in the Bible. It's very scary. It said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man, comparing Jesus to serpent. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Not just carried our sin alone, but he became sin. So when you look at him, he's sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God. We don't only have righteousness, we are the righteousness of God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? What's the difference? I can give you righteousness, or I can make you righteous, or righteousness. You know the meaning of that? Made in righteousness. That means we were substantially righteous. Praise God, somebody. Why? He became sin. He was son. He became sin. As somebody said, the Son of Man, the Son of God became son of man, that sons of men may become sons of God. Sacrifice. Next time we are telling lies, remember the sacrifice. Power sins. Next time you walk out of love, remember the sacrifice. It's always there for us. It's always wanting us back. He has paid for our sins in the past, present, and future. What else will he do? He's done it all. He said, when you take the bread, remember my sacrifice. What's the second one? The blood. Right? He said, this blood, the covenant. Let's talk about covenants. You see, covenant is no longer around now today. We have contracts. You know the song? Lato for us. Just hold the bread and the cup there. Let's sing one more time. Going to do? I'm going to pray, give thanks for the blood and the cup. Now, when they give it to you, don't eat it yet until all of us have got it. Now, start telling him, I'm counting on your body. I'm counting on your blood. Tell him, I'm counting on your sacrifice. I'm counting on your covenant. Just tell him that. Whatever issue in your life right now, I'm counting on the sacrifice. I'm counting on your covenant. Father, we thank you for this bread and this cup. We thank you for Jesus. We take this moment to remember him. And as we take part in this communion today, we're counting on your sacrifice. For everyone here, I don't know where they are. I don't know what they are facing. I don't know the challenge or the opportunities before them. But we know the sacrifice, your body broken for us. And we know the covenant, your blood shed for us. And so we take it in thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Let's share the bread and the cup. Just hold it. Don't eat it. Don't drink. Just till everybody has gotten. Then we take it together as one body. Already have. Just hold the bread and hold the cup. Though you are small in this covenant, he's the big one. His word will come to pass. Keep singing. Hold the bread and the cup till all of us have gotten, but keep telling him, Lord, I'm counting on your sacrifice. Jesus, I'm remembering you today. I'm remembering you. I will trust. counting on you. I'm trusting you. You know what you have said. You know where I am. You know your promises. And you are able. I'm counting on your sacrifice. I'm counting on your covenant to see me through. You never fail, Lord. You never fail. Oh, yes, Lord. All right. Can you take it down? If you're not gotten the bread or the cup, can I see your hands up? If you're not gotten the bread and the cup, can I see your hands up? Is that Pastor Felix? Thank you. All right. Can we? That means all of us have gotten the bread and the cup. Okay, they have not gotten where? All right. If you have not gotten the bread or the cup, keep your hands up so that we can come to you. Hallelujah. You know, he shed his blood. Body was broken for us. After this, taking the bread and the cup, I got two things to tell you from the Lord. Then we leave this building. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for leaders. Join us. Collect your cup and your bread and come join us. I hope everybody, if you're upstairs, please come down. All right. Don't forget the third one. Two things I'll tell you. The third one is the offering for missionaries to extend the covenant of Jesus. All right. Have we all gotten? Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we are here to remember Jesus. The sacrifice you gave for us, that I've come that they might have life. That he that eat my flesh, drinks the blood, have life. He has life. So we come to this sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. And we thank you. Receive your body broken for us. You are for us indeed to offer your only son. We accept that sacrifice. And we say that sacrifice is enough for us to penetrate anything, to change anything. We receive this bread in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's eat it. Now, the cup in your hand. It said the blood of the covenant. I'd like you to look to the screen. I want to read the verse there. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Can you give us an NLT? Maybe to be clearer there. Before we take the cup. Quickly. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. Next verse. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever. say, Lord, I receive everything good to live as your child. As I take this cup, produce in me, bring about, fulfill in my life all you have promised. I take this cup and I remember your covenant. I know I'm outside there in the world. I don't have so much security, speaking naturally. I don't have so much provision, speaking naturally. But you are my security. You are my provision. You have made this covenant by shedding your son's blood on the cross. I accept once again that covenant. I rely on that covenant. It's my resource for living. So I take this cup as the blood of the covenant in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's take the cup. Thank you. I said I will tell you two things. You can sit down. I'll tell you two things. Then we take offering for the missionary. Please listen, everybody. Listen to this. I want to listen to this. This is so important. Covenant. When the house of Israel went to the promised land, to take the promised land, I hope you are listening. God said they should destroy all the nations there. I hope you are listening. But one particular tribe noticed that they can escape. So when they thought it through, they said, we are going to get them into covenant. We will deceive them to make covenant with us, the house of Israel. They know how powerful covenant is. You know what they did? They were not too far from Israel. So they deceived. They went to go and get old clothes, old shoes, old bags, as if they came from about Niger or something. And they came to the camp of Israelites. They said, we have heard about you, that you are a great nation, that God is with you. And we have traveled all the way. See, our bread is molten now. Our shoes are gone. The Bible said Israel never checked with the Lord like any of us. And they signed the covenant. That tribe, one of the strongest tribes around them that they're supposed to destroy. 3 days later, they discovered that they were around them. Oh, they were mad at the leaders. Leader said, we cannot kill them. We have entered into covenant with them. Now, the surprising thing I want to share with you now is not just that they have deceived them. The moment, so the God of Israel becomes their God. For instance, if I enter the covenant and I have nuclear power, that belongs to you too. Like husband and wife, everything he has belongs to you. So, Israel was angry. Joshua said, we cannot break covenant. See? I said, Pastor, after I married him, I find out. Relax. After I married her, I find out he has no heir. Buy her wigs, covenant. So, they did that. Then, all other enemies now got up that were against Israel. Now, went that you have joined them, we are going to wipe you out. They were mighty people. Oh. They said, we know that God is with Israel. So, they call Israel on their phone. They said, Israel, they have come to attack us because we have deceived you to join you. Joshua said, help is on the way. Now, it was deception into the covenant. Joshua got up, went to go and fight, and it was getting late. Listen to this. It was getting late, and they cannot finish the fight. So Joshua stood and said, "Son, stand still." The God of the covenant answered, to even stand for those who deceive them. How much more the children themselves? Can you clap your hands for Jesus? God stopped the sun for half a day and stopped the moon. And then sent big, big snowflakes, you know, to fight for those who deceive Israel into covenant. I guess you are not deceived into Christianity. Even if you are deceived in, God is for you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? The second thing I'm going to tell you as I close. Sometimes, when you are in this covenant, you may be asking for what covenant does not cover. Tell me. God, I want to go to US. God, I want to go to US. And your covenant with him doesn't cover US. It covers UK. On visit. And you make your money somewhere else. And you leave God. I can't tell. I'll just give you an example. Relax now. Your covenant covered FUNAB, like prof, not on those civil service. Your covenant partner won't fight you. He just go and see that things work according to his covenant. So sometimes you'll make a foray and go down there. God will let you go. But you know what? Ultimately, his covenant will work out for your life. I want you to bank on that. This is what I'm saying. If anything happens, doesn't go according to your plan, things don't work the way, just tell yourself, his covenant will be fulfilled. At the end of the day, it will be for my good. That's the meaning of that. It works all things together for the good of that covenant in your life. So when you sometimes stumble and fall and you don't get it and you are disappointed, no, the covenant cannot be disappointed. That matter may not work out the way it is. Even if it involves death, like husbands of Ruth that died. Ruth lost her husband, lost her brother-in-law, lost her father-in-law. That means no hope in the world. But she has come from strange people to become part of the covenant. When they were thinking of leaving, he said, will you go back or stay here? She told herself, everything is gone. He said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. If you want to see that covenant, when things don't go easy your way, don't go and pray and fast and be sad. Start rejoicing. The covenant will work for you. Don't make a request. Follow the oath. I know, God, you have sworn to me. You will bless me. You will take care of me. Yes, they have sacked me, but I know you do something for me. You will not leave me alone. And then start dancing. If your husband go crazy, don't worry about that. Your wife go crazy, don't worry about that. You got a covenant with God. Is that all right? Is that all right? If petrol become 3,000, your covenant with God will take care of you. I want you to, you see, I don't have any reason to explain except my partner, covenant partner. And you know what happened to Ruth? Ruth was so blessed by God that he entered New Testament and he became the family line of Jesus. I rest my case. Let's give our offering. Dear Father, we want to extend your covenant partnership around the world. We want more people to come into this covenant you have brought us to. This is the best ultimate covenant for the human race. The death of your son, the rising of Jesus from the dead is the final answer for all humanity. So we contribute our quota with this little part of our life. We give to the mission. We join the company of Gaius to do something faithful for those who are going in your name to all these territories. And so we give in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Before you give, say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the truth at work in my life in such a way that I'll prosper in all things and be in good health as my soul prospers in the truth of this covenant. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give and get out of here. If you want to give by transfer, you just drop it there. Hallelujah. Can we just give? Thank you. He has promised He will never fail. We are counting on you. We're counting on you. You have promised You will never fail. Your faith to the covenant
is forevermore. Your faithfulness is forevermore. You have promised, You have promised, You will never fail.
Tomorrow morning, Saturday, the future of your business, 7 o'clock, breakfast. Sundays, joint service, don't forget, 9 o'clock.
His
faithfulness.
His faithfulness is forevermore.
Tell him, your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
Let's go home. Thank you, Lord. Get up on your feet. Let's pray. Let's thank God for the covenant that He has for us. Let's thank Him. Let's appreciate God. Let's tell Him that thank you for the covenant. Thank you for the blessing. We bless your name for this covenant. We give you the glory and the honor. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Tell yourself, the Lord preserves my life. The Lord provides for me. The Lord preserves my life. The Lord provides for me. That's my covenant-keeping God. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night.